Morning, everybody. It's really great to be here in Broadfield. Yes, I was looking for a cheer there. Here in Broadfield. Yeah, that's what I thought. And I'm really overjoyed to be here because I feel like I know so many of you so well because of Revive. You know? Where I know. Well, there's another Lydia over there, but my Lydia's busy. She's got other things to do. She didn't want to come with me. She'll come without me because then you'll have a better time. Yeah, that's it. All right, okay, I'll give her a call. She'll be here next week. It is such a privilege and a blessing to be here. I have been among you so many times because I've always come to see you at Revive. And your little corral, your village, is always great. It's always a lot of fun. And there's always a lot of Harvey as well. And it's great. And on this day when we think about Pentecost and we think about that birthday of the church that someone mentioned it as earlier, it is so special to know that the church is the place, the people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. And much as I love your building, and it's a shame that we didn't have this curtain closed for Kevin to emerge from. And much as we love particular places, what matters more than anything else in the church is the people. Amen? And I feel that deep connection and closeness to you guys, because as you go as a whole people to Revive, you are just as much. In fact, even more a people who are the church of Jesus Christ. When we are on the move together, sharing in fellowship together, in faith and in love for the Lord. So just to be obedient to Viv, I will plug Revive. Make sure you come. It's fantastic. You're already booked in. Well done. So that's a few others as well. And it's a great year. This year we want to focus on the call of Christ. The call of Christ on our lives. To listen to his voice. To know his directing. His prompting. His leading for what he is doing and saying in the world at this time. And as we think on Pentecost about the Holy Spirit poured out. About the power and the life of God given to us. There is one single purpose that God gives. His power by his Holy Spirit. It's such that we might follow Jesus. That we might look and live more and more like Jesus. And that is God's calling for your life and for my life. So tell the person next to you, you're looking a bit more like Jesus. You're looking a little bit more like Jesus. This Pentecost, let's look more and more like Jesus. So looking forward to being with you at Revive. I'll try and be part of the band again, Kevin. So bringing a lot of things together, if that's all right, we've had a reading from John chapter 3. Today is Pentecost, which happens in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at the Bible in John chapter 6. So if there's a logic to that, do let me know. But more importantly than that, we want to focus on what it is to live in that life of Christ. And as I was praying for you guys, as I was seeking God and listening to his voice for today, and as I was driving around a wonderfully quiet M25 on the way here, I love going places on Sunday mornings because no one else is on the road except with the Christians. Everyone drives in a really polite way because they know, Lord, I'm going to be in church in a minute. I've got to drive nicely. But I could feel so much of God's heart for you guys, so much of God's love for you, and that stirring of being the kind of people who receive his power to live like him in a deeper and more wonderful way in this time. The Lord wants to encourage you to be a kind of people to expect wonderful things from him in these days. I want to pray that today God would turn up the dial of hunger and expectation. He wants to do that in Broadfield. He wants to do that in Crawley. He wants to do that in his church in these days. Turning up the dial of expectation and hunger for him. A hunger for his presence to say, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit poured out upon our lives more and more deeply and wonderfully to bring about more and more of that great joy that gathers in. I love that cartoon. Did you like that cartoon? I don't know whose idea that was, but it was great. Except for the bit that showed the disciples just before the tongues of fire came on their heads, just before the wind. The video was really wrong. because they all looked bored. Did you see that? They all were like, they were standing there bored. But actually the scripture tells us they were all together in one place, much like we are today, and they were all praying. They were all praying. So if someone could edit the video, and instead of like this, they're praying and they're crying out to God, Lord, we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the way that he does that is to send the Holy Spirit upon the believers' lives. That is the answer to that prayer. When we say we want to see your kingdom come, the answer to that prayer is for the church to be more filled with the Spirit and living more and more like Jesus. You can say hallelujah if you believe it. The Lord says you can do that and you can receive it wonderfully by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, these are fantastic days where we're seeing God moving in wonderful ways. It is beautiful. We had an outreach day yesterday. We had three different outreach events at Ichthus Belvedere Congregation, which is on the far east of London. Kind of head towards Japan, but stop a bit earlier. And it was a fantastic time with three different events. At every single one, there were people opening their hearts to Jesus for the first time. We were worshiping on the streets. We were praying for people. It was such a brilliant time. People were gathering into church. I think there was 15 visitors at the event last night. Absolutely fantastic. People wanting to speak to Jesus. And people are calling it a quiet revival. But it's getting a little bit louder, you know. And you know what I love about this revival? People never know what they mean when we hear the word revival, right? But when we talk about it, number one, there isn't a face on it. There is not one particular person that you have to go to America to go and see for this revival. Say hallelujah. I prefer Crawley to America anyway. It's much better. And you know, there isn't a particular place you've got to be either. Say hallelujah. You don't have to travel. You don't have to fly. You don't even have to drive. This is a moment where people are looking around. Where's the epicenter? Where do I find it? Where do I get the power? And the Lord says, I am with you everywhere. Isn't that great news? You know, also, we're not looking for one particular space either. Because if there's no face on it and there's no place for it, then we don't need to worry about news coverage or not. Stuff that. We've got the Holy Spirit. Say hallelujah. You should be getting louder now. This table's quite good. Because we don't need a face. We don't need a place. We don't even need any space. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. And as we're thinking about the birth of the church on Pentecost, we want to look at what does Jesus have to get ready for the church as they get ready to be born. Can you turn with me to John chapter 6? I was praying about this and I was looking, is there one particular verse, one particular section, one particular segment of these 71 different verses? I had to just check again. It is 71. That's a lot of verses, right? That's a lot more than John 3. But in this time, I want to suggest that what God is doing through Jesus' actions and words here in John 6, what God is doing in Jesus in John chapter 6 is getting ready for that birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. It's the preparation. Has anyone here ever known of a child being born? Anyone got any children here? Anyone ever helped someone who's got children here? Ever done that? Anyone ever decorated a bedroom to get ready for a kid? You ever done that? Yeah? Anyone ever known anyone to make the mistake? They paint it all pink and then it's a boy. Paint it all blue. Oh, whoops, it's a girl. No, that's all right. But before a baby is born, a lot of things have gotten ready. Am I right? Lydia and I, my wife's called Lydia. We have two kids. They are 15 and 13. And we had a bag. I know, isn't it? It's quick, isn't it? You think they're still toddlers. No, they're not. Barney's nearly bigger than me. Rose is already bigger than Lydia. It's brilliant. It makes us laugh every day. But we had a bag ready, the hospital bag. And we had the bedroom ready. And we had the car ready. I kept making sure it was topped up with petrol just in case. There was all kind of things that we got ready for the birth. And here in John 6, Jesus is getting loads of things ready in the community of God's people to be ready for when the Spirit is poured out and the church is born. I want to suggest that there are brilliant things that Jesus gets ready. And we're going to reflect on those for a minute. And then we're going to take some time to worship and to pray to receive the Spirit afresh in our lives. Did you know you need the Holy Spirit every day? Did you know the church needs the Spirit every day? Did you know that tomorrow and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and next Sunday, you're still the church 24/7? Is that right? The Holy Spirit is no longer the presence of God dwelling behind a curtain in a temple, but poured out upon our lives 24/7. You are a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Tell the person next to you, Lou, you're a great looking temple. You're a great looking temple. My goodness. Especially Steph, he went to bed at 5 a.m. He's looking great. But we together are a dwelling place of the Holy Unity. And here in John chapter 6, we have a community event, the feeding of the 5,000. I love it. You know, this miracle is so important. It's in all four of the Gospels. All of them are saying this is an important moment. If you want to be part of the church, if you're here in Crawley in 2025 and you want to be part of the church that's filled with the Spirit and serving Jesus, you need to get hold of what's happening in this moment when Jesus takes some tuna fish sandwiches, probably with mayonnaise and a bit of sweet corn, lovely. And he multiplies the tuna sandwiches, and it's enough to feed 5,000 people. It's important that you get hold of this. I often look at this miracle and I think it's kind of low key in a way, right? It's no raising of Lazarus from the dead, is it? It's no kind of flashing transfiguration on the mountainside. It's not even the calming of a storm that we're going to get in a moment. That's a couple of verses later. It's quite low key. And I love the way that Jesus is there breaking the loaves and getting the fish ready. I don't know if he had a little knife slicing it up. Did he take the bones out or not? These are details we just don't know. But he's getting it ready, and it seems that Jesus is handing it out. Can you imagine being the first disciple to take it out? He's like, you take it, you give it to a few people, and you're like, we're going to run out. And then the next one goes, and then, where's it all coming from? It was a slow trickling miracle. They would have been, oh my goodness, look, I think we've fed 20 people. Everyone's, 20 people? Oh look, there's another group over there of 50. We've just fed all of them. It must have been a miracle that got more and more great over the course of a few hours, right? Must have taken hours and hours to get it round everyone, but it would have got more and more awesome. It would have got more and more exciting. And in these days, we need Christians, we need disciples, we need churches that are going to keep going back to Jesus saying we're not satisfied with this much. We don't just want a miracle for 20 or for 50 or for 100. We want to see 5,000. You can say hallelujah. We want to see the kind of miracles that are awesome. And actually, what is so beautiful in this miracle is that people see it, but then people also eat it. Loads of the other miracles, people saw them and they loved them. In fact, they loved them so much they would go to Jesus and they'd say, Jesus, I know you're the Messiah and the Son of God and all that stuff, but could we please have another miracle? I know, you're going to save everyone and there's going to be this transformative, amazing act of your death and resurrection that you've been telling us about, but please, could you just do us another party trick? Right? People are like that. They're saying, Jesus, show us another sign. Jesus gets really irritated and he says, I'm not giving you another sign. Just wait for the sign of Jonah when I die and rise again. That's the important one. However, this miracle, he's not rebuking them at all. He's saying, you love what I've done for you. You love this sign. And then if you flip over the page in verse 26, he says, you are seeking me, not just because you saw the sign, but because you ate the loaves, you ate the bread, and you had your fill. Look at that. It just appeared behind me. As if by magic. That's amazing. Because the miraculous power of God in Jesus Christ is not something that we just want to look at. It's something that we want to get into our lives. It's something that we want to have deep within our beings. And you know, that picture, that image of the mouths being fed on the miraculous power of God is so important for us in these days. Amen. You know, every single one of us, I love the phrase, you are what you eat. You know that phrase? I was gonna, I had a loaf of bread ready to bring you for this example and I forgot it. Sorry about that. But is there any, oh, hold on, look, we've got some crisps on the table. Okay. Are they all gone? It's all empty. Okay, let's try another miracle. Look, there's one here. Can I have this little bit of biscuit? All right, here we go. Everyone see it? Okay, here it goes. You ready for this trick? Thank you very much. Give me a clap. Yeah, it's good. Okay, now I need help from my friend Ben. Please, can you take the biscuit back out of my life? Can you do that, Ben? It's impossible. Give him a clap. Well done. Ben, that was the right answer. The biscuit is now part of Henry. It's in my teeth as well, a little bit. But it's gone right into my life. What's happening right now, everyone? It's traveling down here. It's being digested. It's being taken in. I can feel it. It's in the acids. There's good stuff from the biscuit coming out, getting into my bloodstream. I can feel it. It's good. I'm feeling strengthened. I'm feeling energized. You see, I am what I eat, right? And that miraculous, beautiful bread that was created by the hand of Jesus, multiplied out of the relationships with his disciples. There was the disciple Philip who said, Jesus, it can't be done. There's the disciple Andrew that says, well, I mean, we've got a packed lunch. We could start there. And my friends, I want that miraculous obedience to start to define my life. How about you? I want to live in that dependency upon God. And again, these are wonderful days. The days that we call the quiet revival are those where you really can't pinpoint this specific event or that specific event. You can't say this is where it started, this is where it finished, this is where it was good and this is where it was bad. Because people are starting to live in the love and the life of Jesus every single day. Do you want to be one of them? You already are. Because you have the Spirit in your life. Just sharing here and being part of worship with you guys today was such a blessing. Because you can feel that hunger for Jesus is growing. I love it. There weren't even enough chairs for us. We all just stood around at the back there singing, dancing, waving flags. Because we're so delighted to share in this love of God. It's not something that is happening outside of us. It's not just a miracle that is beyond us. But it's right here in our mouths. We are tasting more and more of the love of God. Amen. Let's keep going back to Jesus. We want miracles. Miracles in the mouths. And then very, very quickly, it bounces on. And Jesus starts to speak to them and say, do you know what though? That bread that you've had in your mouth, that's not enough. You've had miracles and you've had it in your mouth. But there is something further. He starts to speak to their lives and he says, you know, the bread that I give you, the way that I provide for you, the way I want to share with you, is not enough. Don't just see the miracle and take it into your life, but start to feed on Jesus himself. One of his wonderful seven I am statements. I am the bread of life. Should we say it together? I am the bread of life. Oh, a little bit louder. One, two, three.
I am the bread of life.
Brilliant. Oh, that was good. I like it. Jesus says a whole load of other ones, doesn't he? He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the door to the sheep. He's got loads of I ams, but I like this one. Because again, it's about getting Jesus inside us. And that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Getting Jesus right on the inside. And he's speaking and he's talking to them. And he's saying, I want you to not just feed on what I give you, but feed on who I am. Feed on the words that I give you. Why don't we go to verse 63, seeing as it's available for us. Give Kevin a round of applause, everyone. Very good, very good. Ninja fingers over there. It is these words. It is the Spirit who gives life, but the flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and life. Can you see those three M's we've got right there? What Jesus speaks to us in is the miracles. He speaks to us right into our mouths, right into the things that we can physically receive. And then he gives us that message that we can begin to live by. That is what Jesus has spoken to us in. That is how Jesus is getting the church ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just have a little think. Can everyone give me an M for a minute? Should we just make some M's? Come on. Come on, everyone. Think about it for a moment. Which one speaks to you the most? Which one do you want to see more of in these days? Is it miracles? Is it mouths fed? Do you want to see the poor reached? Is it more and more of the preaching of the message? Which one? And now let's turn it upside down. Which letter are we talking about? W. Very good. Very good. Your W's got four bits on it there. I like that. There we go. When we make this transfer from Jesus as the center of power, and it becomes something that is shared with his church, as we saw in our animation, the day of Pentecost is about the church being filled with the Spirit to live like Jesus. What is miracles and mouths and messages becomes three W's. Can I give you those? Is that all right? They are words, works, and wonders. Can you say it with me? Words, works, and wonders. We are in days where the Lord wants to push us to see the fullness of the gospel in the Spirit-filled church. The message that I mentioned earlier, this is a time where we need to be bold with the Word of God. You know, there were many people over the last couple of decades who have said, oh, the church should stop preaching all the time. Stop talking the gospel so much. You need to just demonstrate it with the things that you do. You know, some people really don't like it. I was on the streets on Friday, worshiping, singing, praising the Lord. We were sharing testimonies about what God has done for us. Sometimes you'd meet Christians and say, you shouldn't do it this way. It's too confrontational. It's too in your face. We were out on the streets, though, I think this was about 3 months ago, worshipping right by a train station at rush hour. It was great. People coming off the train back from work. But this particular train station had had some stabbings a couple of days before, and there were some policemen walking around in pairs. I think it was three different pairs patrolling this station to try and help people feel safe. We were worshipping away. We were singing. We were sharing testimonies, making quite a racket, having some great conversations with the drunk guys on the bench, the guys in the shops who were trying to stop people getting in the betting shop, hallelujah. And then one of the policemen started coming towards us, and another guy joined him. I could tell he was an important one because he had the hat, you know, that hat and some stuff up here. And I was thinking, oh dear. I realized, oh, I haven't got permission for this. And he was walking up, and I kind of stopped singing. I said, hello, it's great to see you. You know, would you like a coffee? It's what we were doing for everyone else. Can we pray for you? And he said, oh, you've done this before, haven't you? And I was like, yep. Lots of times. I was like, oh dear, you've heard of us. And he said, we are so grateful to you for worshiping on the streets. We love it when you worship on the streets here. Everyone in the community feels safe. You know, when you are worshiping, the crime rate goes down. You know, when you guys are here, everything is way more peaceful. We have far less call-outs on an evening when you've been worshiping on the streets. And then he said, how can we help you do this more? What can we do to support you? I was like, bring it on. Let me give you a list, mate. It was so exciting because the words of the gospel spoken out in faith, sung out in faith, prayed out in faith. You know, the world is desperate to hear it. Amen. I sat down on the tube the other day. I was late for a meeting, and I'm going to be honest, I was late for prepping for my preach. I sat down on the tube. You know how it is on the tube? Everyone's on this side, everyone's on that side, and the main objective on everyone's journey is don't make eye contact with anyone else. They're always trying not to look, right? But I had to get my Bible out, and I started reading, and immediately there was this guy next to me, and he went, oh, that's a Bible! And I said, yes, yes, it is. It's a Bible. He was really excited. And I said, yeah, I'm just reading it. And he said, what are you reading? And I said, oh, well, I just want to look at a few different places, really. I've got to get ready for this meeting that I'm going to in North London. And we started to talk and we started to share. And we had a great time speaking and sharing about the Lord for about 4.5 minutes. Then I got off the train. I put my Bible away, put it in my bag. And then I was, much as you do in London, I was late for the next train. And then another guy ran up to me after me, grabbed my arm, and he stopped, and he said, "You were reading the Bible." And I said, "Yeah, I was reading the Bible." And he shook my hand, and he said, "I'm a Christian too." It was amazing when you read the Bible. You were chatting to that guy, but everyone else on the tube was watching you. They were all listening. And he said, "You know what? That was a good preach." And he said, "I could see from where I was standing that you were in the book of Joshua, and then you were in the book of Psalms, and you also were looking at the book of Amos." And I was like, "Wow, you've got great eyes." And I said, "Yeah, I was just preparing this preach, and I was trying to then explain it all to him again." You see, the words of the gospel are powerful in these days. Amen. And when the Lord fills us with the Spirit, it's not about us looking for the opportunity to put in something clever at the right moment. It's about being ready to say, "Lord Jesus, your words are in my mouth. Your truth is in my heart. Be ready to live it. Be ready to share it." Words. What about works, everyone? You see, there are too many people who jump from words and want to go straight to the wonders. They want to see the miracles. They want to see things turn around. They want to climb a mountain here, there, or everywhere and claim it for the Lord. And much as they can do that, you can only achieve it if you're willing to put those words into action. If you're willing to be one who lives the works. The words and the works will then flow into the wonders. You know, the Lord is calling us in these days to be radical lovers of people for the Lord Jesus. Amen. I can tell you with all certainty of my heart that this miracle of the multiplication of food, I've never seen it on the scale that Jesus has here. But I've seen it in church lunches many, many times. There's been many times where we've been praying, "Lord, we don't have enough and we want to know your provision." My favorite one of these, though, was Revive last year. Who was there? Were you there? At Revive last year, we felt God challenge us. We felt God almost punch us in the stomach and say, "Ichthys, if you're going to have a Jubilee year, it needs to actually be a Jubilee year." Ichthys was 50 last year. You can say happy birthday if you like. Thanks, I'm looking good for 50. And I was actually -7 when Ichthys started. But in that Jubilee year, we felt God challenge us to enable people to just come for just their deposit to Revive. We were looking at a possible gap of £106,000, which is quite a lot for us. But amazingly, God provided absolutely everything with miracles, with generosity, and with the kindness of people living with the Spirit of God in their hearts. Isn't it beautiful? You know, we ended up with a surplus, £6,000 more than what we needed. God didn't just give us 106,000, but 112,000. Praise God, huh? We've had a scheme running this year so that anyone who couldn't afford to come to Revive could apply and they could have half of their fees covered. That started to be spent. Isn't that great news? We were able to give a ticket price for those in what we call Generation Z, not Z. Don't say that. Generation Z. And they've been able to come for a much more reduced ticket price so that we can see more and more of God's glory in this year's Revive. Is that good news? I'd call that something like the feeding of the 5,000. But that really does happen when we've got a willingness to say, "Lord, fill me with your Spirit." And this is the last thing I want us to reflect on today. Sorry, I'm just concerned for the leopard here. There we go. Okay, good. I just didn't want to step on it. The last thing I want to say about this chapter, when Jesus has taken all this time to talk about the miracle of the bread, to talk about him being the bread of life, to talk about his words being the words that we feed on, I want to encourage you to make sure you keep feeding on only Jesus. Make sure it is Jesus who energizes your faith in these days. Make sure that it is only Jesus who energizes your faith. Because you know there are so many other things in this world that can energize you in other ways. Things that can energize you with something of a spiritual caffeine hit that will never help you. Let it be only the words, the true words of Jesus that come into your life. You know, last night we had an international evening at Belvedere Congregation. We had 9 or 10 different nations giving away different food of different types, sharing. We had flags hung up. We actually had the nation of Cornwall as well, just for a laugh. It was great. But you know, we were looking at the end, and And Lydia came and reminded me, oh, Henry, you're preaching this, you know, at this event in a moment. And I said, am I? And I've been thinking so much about John 6 getting ready with you guys this morning that I'd forgotten to get ready for it. Oh, no, it was like getting kicked to the stomach again. However, I said, all right, give me 5 minutes in the kitchen. I'll just go and quickly get ready. And I felt the Lord say two things to me. There's one word that is the same in every language around the room in Belvedere last night. And there's one word that is the same in every language all the way around the world. And that's the word hallelujah. Can you say it with me?
Hallelujah.
Wherever you go and you say hallelujah, people will know what you're saying. Hallelujah. And I started to talk about that. But then there's another word that they will recognize in every nation of the world if you say it. And do you know what it is? Coca-Cola. They were the first company who managed to export successfully into every nation of the world. Hallelujah. And Coca-Cola. And you know, you could live these days getting encouraged and excited about all the different things God might be doing around the world. But you're receiving it in your stomach like Coca-Cola. And you know, Coca-Cola, if you pull out one of your baby teeth and you put it in a glass of Coca-Cola, is it 1 minute before it completely dissolves? If that's what it does to your teeth, what's it doing to your guts? What's it doing to your brain? I want to have a faith that is a hallelujah faith. Because that word hallelujah means praise the Lord. Means let's make him our king. And you know, in John, I want you to flick back there for a minute. Can you go to verse 15 for me? Here we go. It's not quite the Lion of Judah, but it's close enough. This is my challenge to you this Pentecost. This is my challenge to you as a church in these days. This is what I feel that we need to have in our hearts as God's people in the UK in these days. Is that Jesus, perceiving that everyone wanted to grab him, the miracle man, and push him into being king by their own force, he withdrew again to the mountain and was by himself alone. Do you want the power of the kingdom of God on your own terms? Or do you want it on God's terms? Do you want it with you as the king or the queen? Or do you want it with Jesus as the king? You see, he only wants to establish his kingdom, not by force, not by showing off, not by Coca-Cola solutions and brand names, but by giving his life for us on the cross and rising again. So that the spirit that fills us is not just the spirit that does miracles, but it's the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the spirit that brought him out of the grave and into the resurrection life that we can now live in. And what I want to encourage you in today, I'm going to welcome the worship team to play another song. Is that all right? Brilliant. Come on, you guys come up and get yourselves ready. And if you guys could play for us for a moment. I want us to just begin to speak and share with Jesus in our hearts and in our lives for a moment. Is that all right? I want to ask you, have you fully made Jesus the King within your life? Are there other kings, powers, structures, strongholds in your identity that keep pipping themselves above Jesus? Are you allowing him and his kingship, which begins in that mountain place of surrender to God? Are you willing to do that in his terms, or are you forcing it onto your own? I encourage you now, if it's okay, should we shut our eyes? And if you want to come to that renewal place, I'm desperate for it in this season. I'm desperate for it in this year. Should we open our hands together? I'm desperate for more and more of the power of the kingdom of Jesus. Should we open our hands in this place? If you want to receive renewal and refreshing this Pentecost afresh, let's ask God that it would be a Pentecost of the kingdom, a Pentecost for King Jesus. A Pentecost of the power of his authority in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is so important to have our hands open in this way, because it means we're not holding on to that which we want to hold on to, but we're releasing and giving it to the Lord. And the Lord just wants to share that word with some of us in the room here, that sense of release, that sense of letting go, not seeking to hold on and to guide the future for ourselves, but just release in Jesus' name. Release in Jesus' name. Release in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to declare over our lives, Lord, above all else, above everything else, that you are our King. Lord, on your terms and not on our own. Lord, by the power of the cross and the resurrection, Jesus, you reign. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you reign. Jesus, you are Lord. So, Lord, just pour out your Spirit now. Pour out your Spirit upon our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, to see your power, Lord, to see your miracles, your wonders. Lord, to know the beautiful truth of your kingdom, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.